The first question is, well, do we have the data prepared? Do we have good, clean, solid, truthful, honest data that we're going to feed? Because you can create the best AI algorithm in the world, then you feed a bunch of garbage data into it. Guess what you're going to get out? I mean, nobody's talking about, we used to talk about garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. And it's like now that everybody's talking about AI, nobody wants to talk about that anymore because they just want to talk about AI. And it's like, yeah, but if you're feeding garbage data into those AI, you're going to get garbage out.
Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius, and today we are going to cover a very important topic. We're going to talk about the data-driven leader and also how CEOs can overcome the misconception that data is too complex for them to understand. And I am joined by Paul Gravey, who is the CEO and founder of the Data Group. Paul, welcome to the Gumbo.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate your time.
First off, tell us about the Data Group.
Well, the Data Group, we've been around for a while, my core team, and we have all of my companies back since I started my first company in my college apartment have been data-focused companies. And they've had different names over the years. And with this last iteration, we just decided to call it what it is. We focus on data and solving data problems for our customers. We focus on large-scale data warehousing and data integrations, APIs. So we just focus on everything to do with data in the back end of things.
Okay. Since you are the data guy and you focus on data, have you seen a rise in how important data has become, especially with lots of different types of threats out there? We have geopolitical threats. We have ransomware, bad actors, hackers. There's a lot of different things that are hitting us and hitting companies today. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, and don't we just all wish all those smart people could put their intelligence to use in helpful ways instead of in all these harmful ways? Mm-hmm. It would save us all a lot of time and worry and energy, because there's a lot of smart people out there that are doing lots of bad things, but wish we could channel them in other directions. But it's an interesting time with data. I think for years, we've realized for years, I think it was 2017 when The Economist came out that data is now the world's most valuable commodity. Give a lot of lip service to that, but I don't think we talk about it a lot being data driven, but I don't see a lot of companies and leaders actually becoming data driven. We're still very hunch experienced decision makers. And with AI is one big trend, and cloud-based everything, including SaaS tools, is the other big trend. And so it's an interesting time where we want to be more data driven. We're conscious that data is so valuable and our most valuable asset. But with cloud proliferation and SaaS tools, our data is becoming more and more fragmented and more scattered all the time at the same time. I think there's a real need to say, hey, we need to own our data. We need to control our data. We need to get our data in a single place where we can manage it and own it and protect it. Use the tools that are out there. But I think what our emphasis at the Data Group and with leadership is helping them understand the importance of integrating, aggregating, unifying their data into a single location that they own and control and can protect.
So what would be some of the conversations that you would have with a CEO just around their most important data? And it's different between companies. So depending on what that company is and what their primary customer base is, it's going to depend on what's important to them as far as data is concerned. So what type of conversation would you have just around making sure that, number one, they are keeping their data in, you mentioned keeping it in one place and one location to make sure they can tap into that data. But What does that conversation look like? What are you talking about with CEOs today?
Yeah, usually that conversation starts with some questions that are those kind of awareness questions, and like, what are the critical systems? And typically, if you really narrow it down, there's only one or two mission critical systems inside of each department of every organization. And when you can focus on identifying those systems, then now, okay, great, we've got a real handle on what are the systems that are housing our mission critical data. And so those are the systems that we need to tap into and figure out an extraction plan and figure out how to get that data out of those systems into a single unified data warehouse where we can actually enrich that data, clean that data, make that data useful, and then again, be able to use that data in meaningful ways and protect that data. So it's typically a conversation around, let's identify where these systems are, where that data is, and then how we access that data, extract that data, get that into a warehouse. And then you can have all those conversations around, what are the ways we want to use this data? What's the best uses of it? How do we integrate it? And how do we protect it? And all those other conversations. But the first conversation is, you know, where is our data? And most CEOs, most CTOs don't, you know, what are all the systems? They don't even know. And so those are important conversations to identify and then extract and unify.
And especially nowadays as well, I know myself, I am seeing and hearing lots of things about AI agents and co-pilots, and that is transforming kind of the way that the world is operating, and also employee-employer relationships. There's been a lot of layoffs lately after post-pandemic from overhiring. And then there's this kind of mumbling around AI making us more efficient, but maybe it's also cutting into some of these jobs, right? Just from a data perspective, how does artificial intelligence play a role in just the overall data conversation, especially when you're talking to a CEO? What are some of the conversations you would be having with them around data and artificial intelligence?
Data is the key. Data is the future to all artificial intelligence. Our brains are real intelligence, not artificial or fake intelligence. And our brains run off of data. Everything we've accumulated in our brain is from our experiences and our reading, and everything we've learned is the data that is our intelligence. And artificial intelligence is no different. It runs off of data. And so the conversation I have is, if you're thinking and talking about an artificial intelligence initiative or strategy, the first question is, do we have the data prepared? Do we have good, clean, solid, truthful, honest data that we're going to feed? Because you can create the best AI algorithm in the world, then you feed a bunch of garbage data into it. Guess what you're going to get out? Nobody's talking about, we used to talk about garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now that everybody's talking about AI, nobody wants to talk about that anymore because they just want to talk about AI. And it's like, yeah, but if you're feeding garbage data into those AI, you're going to get garbage out. And honestly, right now, the Marines have that old saying, fast is slow and slow is fast. That's where I'm talking about AI right now, is let's pump the brakes on the AI initiatives. If you look at AI initiatives across the board, the ROI is really not there. In fact, most AI initiatives are having very massive losses and terrible ROI. Mm-hmm. Because I think people are just running into it too fast. And the main reason, when you look at what were the reasons this failed, one of the number one reasons they point to was bad data, not having the data, not having unified, clean, good, solid data to feed into the AI initiative. So my conversations are, hey, let's, before we jump on this AI bandwagon, what's our data strategy? Where are we from a data strategy, from a data cleanliness, from a data aggregation, unification standpoint, before we start talking about investing a bunch of money in AI algorithms?
Okay. Yeah, that's great advice. And that, it makes me think about the kind of life cycle management, like the life cycle of data. When it's created, let's say an application creates the data, and then it sits somewhere on storage, right? Whether it's disk or in the cloud or offsite on the tape, right? It's there, but you have to be able to tap into it. So it has to be available. But I really want to get your perspective on just overall, what are some of the, let's say you have a CEO that starts to take data collection very seriously, and also the analytics of data. What are some of the metrics that they would use or benchmarks that they would use to, let's say, that they have a successful data management program?
Yeah, just like you said, every business has different metrics, different KPIs that are important to them. What we want to do is make sure first that we've identified those systems, we're integrating and aggregating all that data into one place. And then you want to start to look at it from, I'm a very common sense guy. If it makes common sense, it's probably the right approach. We want to start to look at it from a problem perspective. Where are the fires? Where are the, because if I'm a CEO and I've always got fires, then I'm not leading strategically. I'm not thinking strategically. I don't have the company on the right path because I'm too busy putting out fires. So where are the fires coming from? Then let's point our data in those directions and figure out what we can do from an alerting standpoint, from an analytics standpoint to solve those problems and put out those fires so that we can focus more strategically. Typically, it's the traditional, again, common sense, it's the 80-20 rule. Where is 80% of the fires coming from? That's where we want to focus our efforts on using data to make our operations more efficient in terms of putting out those fires before they start, using data intelligently to alert people before things are happening. If something keeps happening, a fire keeps coming up, and you're not implementing a data alert, then you're going to keep having that fire. And data alerts are so cheap and they're so easy to implement. They're that low-hanging fruit in data strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, implementing broad analytics across every department and every leader is a massive project and can take months and years to implement. Implementing data alerts is something that's so fast and cheap and easy and can be very effective in streamlining operations and putting out fires and helping leaders to be more strategic.
You mentioned CEOs, and so it sounds like it has to be a top-down approach, right? So it has to start at the executive level in order to take it very seriously, in order to say, you know what, we're going to start a data program, a data management program. We're going to be data-driven, and we're going to, number one, acquire all the assets, all the tools that we need in order to wrap our arms around this so we can maybe get a competitive advantage, or even decide whether or not helping out with our innovation just from what we're developing right now as new tools for customers, et cetera. Is cybersecurity and data protection maybe keeping that data safe? Because I know that's also a really key aspect of data. If you have lots of it, then I'm sure that comes up quite a bit.
That's what I talk to CEOs about, and that's why I wrote the book Data Driven Leader, because CEOs inherently, they have this fear of data and technology. They don't think they understand it, and they think it's too complicated. It's a lie that they've been fed that this is so complicated that they can't understand it. Data is so incredibly simple. It's strings, dates, and numbers. And if you're smart enough to be a CEO or leader of your organization, you're way smarter than you need to be to understand strings, dates, and numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's what I'm encouraging them is you lead every other division and department of your organization, but they think this is too complicated. I don't understand it. So I'm just going to outsource it. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to keep it at arm's length and let that team over there, that IT team over there that understands all this stuff, run all that. And that's what I'm encouraging CEOs is know what we do as leaders is we set the vision, right? You set the mm-hmm. vision. You don't get down in the weeds. You don't micromanage, but you set the vision for each department in your company that aligns with the overall mission of the company and the organization. So you need to set the vision for data and technology, just like you set the vision for every other department. And that vision is data is our most valuable asset, and we are going to integrate it, aggregate it, unify it, own it, control it, and use it effectively and efficiently because it is our most valuable asset. And once you have that mindset as a leader that A, I'm not intimidated by it, I can lead it, I can set the vision, and B, that is the vision that we are going to affect it. It is our most valuable asset, and therefore we are going to invest in it and we are going to utilize it effectively. We invest in the things that we perceive have the most value, right? So whatever right. assets we perceive have a lot of value is what we invest in. So to become a data-driven leader, the first truth you need to realize is our data is our most valuable asset. And then, of course, okay. the follow-on truth to that is then I really need to start investing in it. And that's the vision you set, and that's the way you lead that effort. And so that's what I'm really encouraging CEOs to do, become data-driven leaders by setting the vision for technology and data. And that vision is our data is our most valuable asset, and we need to own it and control it. And yeah, protect it is, of course, a big part of that. But it's a lot easier when you're investing in it because it's so important than to invest that money to own it, control it, and protect it because you perceive the incredible value in it.
And so with that investment, and you mentioned the CEO having that vision and that they are pretty intelligent to even hold that spot. When you are having that conversation, who is the CEO relying on? To me, in my mind, they would really heavily tap into like a chief information officer or a chief technology officer. And I do know there's also chief data officers out there. Are you running across any of these roles as you are having these data-driven conversations?
Yeah, sure. And the larger the company, the more roles there are, right? And the more chiefs or EVPs there are. Mm-hmm. So, and those people are great, and they have the knowledge that you want to lean on and take advice from. Like I said, you still lead every department in your company, and your data and your technology should be no different. And so you can't say, I don't understand this, so I'm not going to lead it. You lead every department. And then how do you do that? Well, you ask enough questions so that you can intelligently understand it just enough to set the vision, right? You're not in there micromanaging. You're not in there making all the decisions, but you're setting the vision. So you ask enough questions to know, hey, this is the vision for this department moving forward. And it's no different with technology and data. This is the vision. Data is our most valuable asset. We're going to invest in it and use it effectively. And then you have those conversations with people. Now that this is the vision, what are the technologies? What are the ways we do this? How do we own our data, control our data? What tools do we need to use, invest in to make that happen? What tools do we need to invest in to protect our data and keep it secure? The people can help you make those decisions, set those budgets, and plan and implement those systems. But you're leading the vision that this is what we're going to do. We're going to invest in this. We're going to make this happen. We're going to effectively use our data because it's the future, not just in AI, but in every way. Data is the future. It's your most valuable asset, and you got to set the vision to invest in.
What are some of the tools that you're seeing? So as you show up and you're having more and more conversations, I'm sure you're seeing the same tools, right? Whether they're SaaS tools like Salesforce, databases, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of those, data warehousing, data lakes. Any particular tools that you see, especially for any of the CEO or C-level executives out there, and they're probably wondering, well, do we have the right tools in place to make this a seamless process?
Yeah, we're big advocates and partners and proponents of Snowflake Data Warehouse. They're really the cloud data leader in data warehousing right now. They have some very interesting competition that we're watching carefully and that we're that we're putting in our QA labs. But we love Snowflake and we're big partners with them. They're the leading force in cloud-based data warehousing and we love working with them. Sigma Computing is our preferred analytics choice. Okay. They have a great model and tool for analytics where you don't reload the data out of the data warehouse. It actually sits on top of the data warehouse. And we love that model, and we think that's the future of data analytics. And again, as I talked about, yes, SaaS tools are proliferating. They're great. They're wonderful. There's so many benefits to SaaS. The important thing is as those tools proliferate and you subscribe to them, before you invest in them, to understand what is our data strategy so that our data is not locked into that silo of that SaaS system. How do we access it? How do we extract it? How do we pull it back into our data warehouse so we can effectively use it? So don't just, I think the problem is companies now have 25 different SaaS systems and their data is more scattered
more
than ever.
That.
Yeah. So that's the challenge is SaaS is wonderful and it has so many benefits, but you have to look at it from how are we going to use that data that we're going to collect in that SaaS system by extracting it into our Snowflake data warehouses we're doing for our customers.
Okay. Data Coach Gravy. I appreciate all the knowledge and insight. And also a question I always like to ask, since I still have a college age kid, She's in her final year. And I always like to ask my guests advice on career opportunities and where do you see 2025? Just from where you sit, you're the data guy. What types of positions or maybe even advice that you would have for a college age person that's getting ready to graduate now, as far as what's the outlook for them?
Well, you know, of course, I would say data engineering is great, and we're always looking for great data engineers, and data is the future. And so everything related to data, our focus and what I would encourage kids to get into. But if that's not your gifting, if the Lord hasn't gifted you with data and data bores you to death, then of course don't do it, because mm-hmm. it's not in your wheelhouse and it's not in your gifting. So we always need to look for Andy Stanley's one of my mentors. I've been listening to his podcast lately, and I love where he says you need to look for the things that bring you joy and the things that you're good at, the things that you're gifted at. And that's your lane. That's where God created you to be. And so I would encourage you to encourage her to find out what brings her joy and what she's really gifted at, because that's what God created her to do.
Okay. You said Andy Stanley, the pastor?
Andy Stanley, yeah, the North pastor. Point.
Yeah, I met him one time. Great guy. We had breakfast.
Yeah, it great guy. Great very, podcast.
Yeah.
Him I love Craig it. Rochelle or, mm-hmm. and John Maxwell, of course, are three of my favorite podcasts.
Okay. Yeah, we have similar taste there. And any final shout out for Data Gravy?
No, I just, Data Coach Gravy, just encouraging you to become a data-driven leader by transforming your organization into a data-driven business.
And where can I get the book?
It's coming out this fall, so my publisher told me not to give a hard date yet, but
okay.
We're in the process of the editing phase right now, and launch date sometime this fall.
So reach back out once it launches, and maybe we can do something special for the Gumbo audience.
Great. Sounds fun. Will do.
All right. Well, thank you again. And this has been very insightful for me. I'm sure the Gumbo listeners will take away some nuggets of information from this. And so thank you so much for taking time out of your day to have a conversation with us. Also, please check us out on YouTube at Data Protection Gumbo. And also join our group with 26,000 people. It's called Backup and Recovery Professionals on LinkedIn. So thanks again for being a guest here.
Thanks, Dimitri. Appreciate it.